You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. Hello, friends. In this episode, I'm going to introduce you to Laura Marie Rubin, and we talk about how her life changed when the company she was working for closed up. Pretty suddenly, actually. So it was at this time where Laura Marie says that she felt like all of a sudden she had choices for the very first time at 45 years old. So we talk about that. And we talk about what she did next and how it all came together. Laura Marie is also the first person I may have ever spoken with in all of my many, many conversations, although my memory is not perfect here, but she speaks adoringly and lovingly and favorably about the smell of her barn, you guys. Admittedly, I'm a fairly urban creature with very little barn exposure, but I love that about this conversation. Gotta say, I love it. All right, and now it's time. Let's go. Laura Marie Rubin, welcome to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm so glad you're here. Are you ready for a fun chat?
I am so ready. Let's do this.
Yay. All right. I start all my interviews with the same warm-up question. Share with us, what part of the world do you call home?
I call Parker, Colorado, home. It's about 45 minutes south of Denver.
Yay. All right. And so in just a second, we're going to get to the topic of the day. But before we do that, I have one more warm-up question, which is, can you share with me and all the people who are watching and listening something you do to take care of yourself that might be considered self-care?
So for me, it's going to the barn. So I have four horses that I work with, and there is nothing better than walking out to the barn. They're on my property, walking out to the barn, opening up that barn door and just smelling the barn. If you're a horse person, you know, the smell of the barn, the smell of the horses, and just to be greeted, that's self-care every time. If I'm having a bad day, that's where I'm going to go.
So just walking into the barn, the smell, I have to admit, I've never had anybody say that the smell of a barn is something that they consider self-care. Being with animals, exposure to animals, but never the smell of the barn.
Yeah. All it takes is walking in and it's just like everything relaxes. You just big exhale. So, and the smell anywhere, like, so I also show. So when I walk into the show barn, it's the same thing. But, and if you're not a horse person, you won't get it. As a horse person,
I fall into the category of not a horse person. I think they're beautiful, but I don't have as much exposure at all. All right, very good. So topic of the day, not actually horses, believe it or not. But what we're going to talk about is that at age 45, you lost your job, and in your words, with it, the illusion of safety that came from following all of the rules. So my first question is, I want to back way up in time and ask you what it was that you were doing at this time. Like, what was your career? What was the job?
So I was an office manager, bookkeeper. I was basically a COO of a small construction firm. I did all the administrative, all the managing of the office. That's all I'd ever done. So I started with admin, and then I taught myself bookkeeping and management and all of that. And so my whole life, I had just done all the things that I was good at. And at that point, I was good at managing offices. I was good at keeping the books and writing, paying the bills, and all that's what I knew. And that's what I did.
Very good. So how long had you been in this job for a long time, this career for a long time? Like, was this something you had done for a long time?
Yeah, the admin, bookkeeping, all of that, I started in my mid-20s.
Okay. And and did you enjoy it? Would you say that you liked it?
There are parts of it that I enjoyed. I enjoy organizing. I enjoyed solving problems, and I love spreadsheets. I think those are really, I get really excited about spreadsheets. So yes, there were certain things about the job that I actually did like.
I think I don't think you would have stayed in that for as long if you hadn't liked it. So we're going to talk about what happened as this broke apart. But before we do that, I want to zoom way back in time. If I had known you when you were younger, if I had known you were when you were a kid in middle school or high school, and I had asked you, what do you want to be when you grow up? What were your hopes and dreams then?
Do you know, I would say I didn't know. And I think that that's a lot of the reason that I just went down the path. I went down the path of what I knew. So perfect example was when I went to college and I came back in the summers, all my friends were getting retail jobs or working at working in restaurants and things like that. I never found a job like that. I never got hired in any of those jobs. So I went and worked for temp agencies back in the day when there were temp agencies and and so I had to take a typing test and I had to do, so that's, I mean, it's just kind of where it all started. It's what I knew. It's the only job I could get in the summers. I even did it in high school. And so the only jobs that I could get in the summer, and honestly, it paid well. It had decent hours, and that kind of got me started into, that was what I knew.
All right, so what did you study in school?
So I studied business administration.
Oh, I think that's a very linear that totally tracks. I think all of these things line up. So very good. Okay, so you didn't know. You were unsure what you wanted to do. You studied business administration. You end up in operations, in business management, in administration. So that I think that tracks. So you're doing that for more than 2 decades. When you lose the job, you say that you lost the illusion of safety. So tell us more about that. What do you mean when you say illusion?
So, I had spent my entire life checking off all the boxes, doing the things, the college, the career. So I went to college not knowing what I wanted, but it was like that was what was expected. That was the next step. You graduated high school and then you went to college. So I picked a major that was something that I knew about, but it didn't necessarily light me up. But I had spent my whole life checking off all those different boxes, thinking that was the model that was going to make me fulfilled, have meaning, take care of me for the rest of my life. All of those things that was modeled in my family, that society tells us, and that I saw all around me.
So were you aware at the time, if you, this is a terrible question because it's asking you to put yourself back in the mindset of
Okay.
when you were 19, but do you think you were aware of the fact that these things were laid out as a checklist? Like, were you aware that
Abs
these were,
absolutely not. No,
okay.
it's only looking back that I realized that that's what I was doing. I was just following what I thought the path was supposed to be. It didn't feel like check boxes to me. It just felt like, well, this is what everybody else is doing. This is what I see modeled around me. This is what I'm supposed to do. No one, I never had conversations with my family, my parents, like, you can do whatever you want. Go take a year off, go explore, decide. It was like, I felt like for me personally, who I was, I had to have a path, and this was my path. And that was and that was what I was going to go on. And that was what was going to work because that's the only thing I knew.
So one of the things that I sometimes say to myself, to other people, is that I think that there's power in seeing the choices. And so when we talk about the checklist is the sensation that somebody says, this is the next step. You've taken algebra one, the next thing is algebra two, and you just say, okay. And then the choice is when you are aware that you can do more than one thing. So thinking back to some of these things, like choosing a major in college, you were probably aware that there was a choice, right? There were all
Yes.
kinds of choices. You said you didn't know.
Almost too many. And if you're not, for me, I wasn't clear. And it was like, well, business makes sense. It's what I've been doing in the summers. Like I said, I did it in high school in the summers. And yeah, it just made sense that that would be what I would do.
So do you know, did you consider anything else? Do you remember?
I loved horses back then, so I thought maybe I'd be a vet. And that quickly changed because of the time, the effort, the financial outlay that's involved in it. And I wasn't that interested in being
Okay.
in
And
it.
you
But
still like that choice.
yes, I do. I would never be a vet. They have, in my opinion, have a really hard life. They love their jobs, but it's not an easy job. So no.
It's a very, very hard job. We all love our vets, but it is a very, very hard
Yes.
job. And it's an incredibly challenging
Oh, yes.
study path.
Yeah, because yes, definitely. And that wasn't the path that I was not that, I'll be honest, I was not that motivated to go that
All
path.
right.
That was a lot of work.
So you actually did see that choice and you made that, and you still to this day feel like that is a good choice.
Yes.
I think that there's a lot of pressure on youngsters, and I'm tuned into this because I've kids in college. There's a lot of pressure on folks to make the right decision in choosing a major and choosing a school. I remember feeling that when I was there at that age. And at the same time, 3 decades later, I'm like, I'm not sure how much difference it makes, to tell you the truth. I mean, it does. If you want to be an engineer, it's a very clear path. If you want to be a surgeon, those are those clear. But for the rest of us, I think that,
I could not agree more. But yeah, I think there are certain professions that obviously need to have college degrees, but I think there's a lot you can do in life that experience trumps the college degree every time.
Yes. And even if you, if you, I think that college can be an excellent experience, and have a lot of value, which is not directly tied to the profession you have. But not if you have to borrow, if not if you have to spend your family's at retirement to do it. That's a bad move in my, that's not advice, but that's my opinion. All right. So you lose your job. Is this your choice or it happens to you?
No, company closes. Have no
Company
company
closes.
closes. Have no choice. And that's when it was like, whoa,
Okay.
I didn't expect this. I did not see this coming at all. I had done all the right things to get me to this COO position of a concrete company. I was going to be good. I was making good money. And then the company closed.
Company closed. Sounds like it was a surprise. Came out of nowhere that they decided to
Not
close.
necessarily nowhere, but I always felt like we're going to pull it out. We're going to continue. We're going to continue. We're going to continue. And then it was like, no, we're not going to continue.
All right, so you're 45 years old. Some people can retire at 45. It doesn't sound like that was what was going on for you. What did you feel at that moment? What did you see as your choices? What was going on in your mind when this
So,
happened?
to be honest, it was a catalyst. It was the first time in my life that I thought, I have a choice here. Every time I had changed jobs before, it was like, find something in the same field, find something in that never even occurred to me to look outside that field because that was where, that field was what my experience was in. So at 45, I think things changed. You're like, well, for me, it was like, I hopefully have 45 years left, and I do not want to spend the next 45 years doing things that I don't want to do anymore. Doing that same job that maybe I'm good at but doesn't light me up. That, I mean, I'm just going to go. It's just a paycheck. That's all it is. I did not want to live like that my last 45 years. Now, my first 45 years, I learned a lot. It made me the person that I was, and I would never go back and change that. But at that moment, it was like I realized I finally was like, I do have a choice. What path am I going to take? Am I going to go down the road of, what I knew, the comfort zone? And to be honest with you, the road that every now and then I would get asked, is this all there? My head would say, is this all there is? I would hear this little voice. Or do I take the other path, unknown, not my comfort zone, not really sure even what that path is. However, I felt this sense of possibility and potential.
Okay,
And
right from the beginning, right
right
from
from
the
the
beginning.
beginning, I thought, you know what? There's more. There's,
Okay.
I mean, I have spent 45, I'm a smart woman. I am very capable. I've done a lot of things in my life. I don't want to continue doing this work that doesn't light me up. What lights me up? And that was really the big question. What is it that lights me up? Because I had spent so much time living in that box and being that persona that I wasn't sure what parts were really me and what parts were just what, was just the mask or the superwoman cape that I was wearing just to, get through life.
Yeah, so sometimes it's called the awakening. There's a person named Shefali, Dr. Shefali, and she calls this the awakening. And I think that's a like I think that that's a pretty optimistic word, but I would say that if you've ever experienced it, when you look around, you're like, "Oh my God, whose life is this?" Doesn't feel so great in the moment. All right, so what you said in the intake form is you said you realized that you had spent too long living by everyone else's rules. So it's give me an example of how you were came to see that in this time. Like what did it feel like in the moment? Give me an example of a time where you realized you were like, wait a minute, I don't actually care about this.
It was like my parents very much was like, there were certain jobs that you did. There were certain, you worked for someone.
Okay.
And I thought, I don't want to work for someone. So along my 45 years, I had job after job after job. And, I chalked it up to, I would get bored. And it was like, oh, this isn't really. And then I just go find another one, and I'd find another one. And I did lose my, I did get released a couple times. But it was like, it was always like, had to find a job. And I realized that I didn't really want to work for anybody else. I wanted to work for me, but in my family, that wasn't, I mean, no one would have even entertained that idea. That was totally foreign to them. So it was like, wow, I can choose. I don't have to go back and get a W-2 job. I can become a contractor of some sort, doing whatever I want. And I could have time freedom. I mean, obviously we all know being your own boss and being an entrepreneur doesn't necessarily always give you time freedom, but I had that potential.
That is the joke, right? It's like you might be unhappily working 40 hours a week or 50 hours a week for somebody else. And, you have a salary and they're like, I'm going to go work for myself. And so then you're working 100 hours a week.
But hopefully it's something that really lights you up. So
yeah, no, absolutely.
And you hopefully that's the beginning and it's not always like that.
Yes. But I mean, it's definitely when it's yours, you never quite shut it off. So
that's true.
It's always kind of there. And that's definitely that. So you had no example within your family of other people that had worked for themselves, and you had a strong origin story of my correct role in society is to work for other people and be paid with a paycheck. Did you have other people who were around you that were examples or representation of people jumping ship and working for themselves and experiencing success?
Not really.
Wow.
I mean, I shouldn't say that. I did have friends and people that I knew that did work for themselves, but I wouldn't necessarily call them a role model. I just knew that there was another way to do things.
Okay.
And
so
I'm always like, once I set my mind to something, it's like, all right, I'm all in. So I'm all in. Here we go. I don't know what I'm all in or doing, but I'm all in. Here I go. It's like
I'm all in. All in what? I don't know.
Oh, no.
We're gonna find out, but I'm jumping in with both feet. I love it. very
and it was
good.
Scary. Oh my gosh. Really scary. And in the journey, I made some decisions that, I mean, twists and turns, stops and starts. It was not a linear path at all either.
Yes. Well, and how did that feel when you were going through it, when you realized that, we'll come back to that. Actually, we're not far along in this for that question to make sense. So you say that you were choosing, or you are choosing, making a life that felt like yours.
Yep.
And not following the map anymore. So we've talked about the checklist and the map and that sort of process. What was the process of peeling back the layers and figuring out where the line was between what you wanted to do for yourself and what you had been doing before that you realized was really messaging from other people?
I think the biggest thing was deciding, what did I like? What were my core values? How did I want to show, just like basic, who am I at my core? What were the core values that I want? I don't think that I ever stopped long enough to really know myself. And that's really what it's all about. It's about this self-knowing that, and I didn't know who I was. I really didn't. I had, like I said, followed everybody else's rules, thought that this were the things that I wanted to do. And so that was the first piece. It's like, what is it that I really like? What is it that and that actually started with, what is it that I don't like? Sometimes it's easier to figure out what we don't like. And then from there, we can decide, oh yeah, this is what I like from that. So there was a lot of reflection in, what do I don't like? What do I like? What are my values? And then taking that information and comparing it to what was going on in my life. Like, does it match? Where doesn't it match?
So I hear this from other people frequently that they do this rediscovery of what are their preferences, what are their dreams, what are their desires, what are their values. And so of the audience who's listening, there's going to be a group of people who really resonate with that right away. And there's also going to be people who are like, what are you talking about? How can you be 45 years old and not know what you like? So how did this even come into being? How did you realize that you like, were you by yourself realizing this, just walking down the path one day and you're like, I don't know what I like? Or were you working with other people, having conversations with people? How did you come to the realization you were like, I'm not sure I know what I like anymore?
I think for me, it was like losing the job. I'm going to go back to it's the catalyst. You're
Okay.
stripped bare, basically. I mean, what you thought was going to, how things were going to be are no longer. And then for me, I started, it's like, what else isn't quite right? And I had had that nagging feeling. So as I mentioned, every now and then I'd get that whisper, is this all there is? And
Yeah.
then I would ignore it and immediately push harder for whatever that next box, whatever that next checkbox was, because it was like, well, I'm just not working hard enough. I'm not doing the right things. I've just got to work harder on this linear path. And I've got my blinders on because I don't see anything else but I just got to work harder. I got to do more. I'm not doing the right thing to get to
Yeah.
whatever this basic is. And so, yeah, it was just this, I was tired. I was tired of running on that hamster wheel. And then I would vacillate between the hamster wheel and being on autopilot because I would have burned myself out on the hamster wheel. And I just was tired. And I honestly just thought there's got to be a better way. There really
So
does.
what were some of the things? So you knew you didn't want to work for somebody else. What were some of the other things that you highlighted that you were like, this is not going to be for me anymore?
The 9 to 5 was not going to be for me anymore. I wanted to be able to have the schedule, and as we joked, we all have crazy schedules sometimes as an entrepreneur, but I wanted to be able to have control of my own schedule. I did not want to be controlled by other people's deadlines. Especially in the accounting world, you've got deadlines you've got to meet. And I
Yeah.
was tired of meeting the deadlines. I was tired of going into an office every day and, I had to make sure my kids were at school at a certain time, and then I had to make sure I was home to go get them. I wanted to be released from all those time constraints. I was ready for a change in that.
Roughly, how old were your kids when this was happening?
My kids at 45 were almost out of the house, so I
Okay.
wasn't having to worry about shelling. But I'm thinking about, what led up to this and all
Yeah.
those times. Yeah, it was time. I was just tired of having someone else dictate how my life goes, what time frame, what I was
Yeah.
expected to do.
Boy, it is the end of that primary school level, 12th grade is if you are in a mo unless you're homeschooling or doing some sort of other alternative, but if you're in a mainstream schooling scenario, the school district runs your schedule for the year. Like you don't do anything without checking that calendar. When I had itty bitty babies, I remember a nurse said somebody was saying they needed to get the baby on an eating and sleeping schedule, and she's like, "Oh my God, don't even worry about it. You will be on a schedule when you start school, and it won't be yours, but you will be on a schedule."
Oh my
So
God.
I think that that's a really interesting thing because you could see you said they were almost out of the house, so they were more independent. You could see the end of that marathon level commitment that you had made to do that, and it's not something that we talk about as much as we probably should because we don't get a lot of positive reinforcement for saying, I'm ready for this phase to be over as a
Yes.
mom. We get the message of like, oh, you're gonna miss them. Yes, and also I'm really happy it's over.
Yes, and also is so true. So true.
Exactly. So I think that that's really fair. So you could see the end of that. You're ready to take control of that. So that's a personal element. You were ready to not go into the office anymore and not work for anybody else. Those are the things that you were releasing. What were some of the values that you uncovered that you wanted to lean into as a part of this exploration?
So for me, connection, having deep connections with people, and you make friends at work. But they're work friends. I mean, so many times when I would move from job to job, when I had just decided I wanted to do something differently, I would have made friends at those previous workplaces. But then when I left, that was it. The connection was, was work. That was it. So I was really yearning for like meaningful. I loved meaningful conversations. I really love connecting with people. Joy. I wanted to do I joy's at the top of my list. And then also ease, grace. I have my little saying, ease, grace, joy, and flow. Those are the four things that I look that those are my lens. And I look to see if I can match all four, awesome. But I have to match at least two in whatever I'm doing. And this is the process that I went to I through. I have to match at least two of those in whatever I'm doing or whoever I'm meeting. And if I'm and then those other two, I have to be getting in a different way. It somehow related to that situation, but not maybe directly. So.
Right, because there is a piece of this, right? We're talking about like life and living 45 years, and the in the season. For a very, very long time, I was really resistant to people referring to life as season of life, but I think it does. Once you once you get enough of it under your belt, you can see it a little bit better. But there is that time frame when you have young kids and a job and a house, and it is like I never felt like I was in control of that ship. I felt like I was hanging onto the caboose of the family
Yes.
life, right? And so there's and then to be able to say, hey, now I have the place where I can choose it, I think that's really empowering. So do you think, but my point there is that once you if it's not in control of you, where it's all encompassing, not everything comes from every one part of your life. So not all the
Yes.
parts of joy come from your career.
Right.
Not all the parts of joy come necessarily from maybe a relationship or a group of relationships. And so being able to put the puzzle together and see it reduces the pressure on any of those singular
Yes.
things.
Yes, and I agree. It's not just one thing. It is
Right.
definitely not one just one thing. And it's yeah, all of those pieces come together. I totally agree. And here's the thing about midlife. I so agree with the word awakening because it is, it's a it, we hit I feel like as women we hit 40 and all of a sudden it's like kids are moving on, that stage is over and it's like wow. What about me? Now all of a sudden we get to look at ourselves and decide what do we want for us
Yeah.
because we've spent so much. So it is really a great time, I think.
Yeah, it definitely can be. I can remember one very distinct moment. I had spent so much time. I have a very long season of kidding, raising kids, and I was in a I was in a point where I was like, this is never going to end. I am going to spend the rest of my life driving these people around. And then I was like, oh, wait a minute. And I could see, I was like, oh, wait a minute. Once this one starts to drive, then there's only one more. I was like, oh, wait, okay. And it was like, oh, there's the end. There's the end. It's a long way away, but it's
Yep.
out there. So all right, do you think that if you had not, if this company had not closed and you had not been pushed to do this, do you think you would have found the way to go through this process of self-evaluation and make these changes, or do you think you'd still be working at the jobs?
I think I'd still be working at the jobs. I really do. I think that I would become more aware of it might have been more of a thorn in my side, I should say, and like more of a like poke, 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 as opposed to like a really quiet whisper. But I think I would have continued.
Yeah, so I think that's fair. And I think that it's very good. Okay, so in a minute, we're going to do the final questions. I want to give you a chance to talk directly about what you're doing now. You have a company that I think is called Wild Awake Woman. Tell us what that is and what you do and how you want people to try and connect with you after the show.
That. So. My passion is providing a place for women to come and I just say exhale. They get to take the mask off. They get to drop the cape. They get to come and be whoever they are with no judgment. They're not, there's no expectations. The conditioning, they can drop the layers, all of those things. And we do it in the company of horses. And my favorite thing is just to watch these women find clarity, find peace, find the ease, grace, joy, and flow for their life. And they come away taking that person, having that clarity in how they want to live their life day to day. And the horses just are magnificent mirrors to what is going on energetically within us that oftentimes we don't notice and we don't know. So they are like, they're really the stars of the program. I just show up and am the conduit and ask the right questions. And then the horses really do all the work. It's really fabulous to watch. I have a ranch in the ranch in Parker, and I have four horses that I work with. And yeah, so I'm just super passionate about helping women find themselves, really.
Right. So we, and the, so this is equine experience.
Yes. Equine,
right?
Guided coaching.
Equine guided coaching. I have never done this, but I've heard about this for the year. So I live in Miami, Florida. We don't actually have a lot of horses in my part of Miami. And so I have very limited experience. I grew up in New York City. I have limited experience.
Yes.
But I have heard about this, and the way the horses, the big, beautiful, majestic horses are just, they reflect and mirror back whatever you bring into the
yep.
space with them. I actually was invited to a coaching program where this was an element of it. It didn't match up with what I was doing, but I would have been fascinated to do it. I am very interested in it. I would like for all of the horses to like me.
So
I was in that experience.
And that's a common, that is a common need and want. As women, we want to, we're people pleasing. So we're horse pleasing. We want them to like us. And there's messages and everything. I had a group here last night, and it was just, it's always phenomenal how they show up, and the women, and not, is everyone's transformed. Whether there's only one person getting coached, two people getting coached, everyone else in the group is just actually absolutely transformed and gets something by it. So that is my passion. That is what I do a lot of. And people can find me at wildawakewoman.com or Instagram at Living Wild Awake and Facebook at Living Wild Awake.
That is amazing. All right. So you gave us a special offer for the audience I'm going to share, which is called Unlock the Five Secrets of the Wild Awake Woman. It's a 5-day audio series. So you don't have to come to the ranch for this. So
that's
5-day
right.
Audio series designed for ambitious women who are ready to break free from the relentless hustle, disengage from autopilot, and rediscover the exhilaration of vibrant living. This is free. There's a link in the show notes, wildawakewoman.com/secrets. There's a link in the show notes, which is anywhere that people are watching or listening to this show. And the best way to get all these links and this information is to be a subscriber to the imperfectadulting.com community. Just go and sign up. You get free stuff. And then I email these directly into your email box. So if you're on the treadmill, you're in the train, in a place where you don't have a pen, don't worry about it. It comes right to your inbox. Thank you very much for that generous offer. I really appreciate it. Are you ready, Laura, for the rapid fire questions?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. Okay. When it's your birthday, what kind of cake or sweet do you want for your celebration?
Carrot cake.
Carrot cake. All right. You were fast on that. That's very good. Okay, very good. What part of the world, is there a part of the world that you're still curious about that you'd love to have a chance still to travel and explore?
Spain.
Nice. Very nice. And what is your least favorite household chore? One that you'd be happy to never, ever, ever have to do again?
Mop the floors, and I don't do it because I have someone that comes in and cleans my house because I tried for a lot of years to, like, it's not that hard. My house is not that big. My children are gone, so it's really not that dirty. I can do this. No, it was, oh, no, mopping floors, not my deal.
I love, not only do you not want to ever do it again, you've already made that change. You're like, that's it. Done. Finished. For 10 years of my life, I lived in a house where it had this like crazy floor that I hated all of the time. The entire time I lived in this house, I was like, oh, we really should have redone the floors. And then after we moved, I realized, because they were this like mottled brown, light brown, completely a nondescript color. It was like, you know, just not great. And then we moved, and I realized that this particular floor, it had a superpower that I had not been appreciative enough, which is that you could dump like an entire bag of sand or onto this floor, and it was invisible immediately. Like, you never saw any dirt. You never saw any dirt. And so all of a sudden, after it was gone and I had like moved into like a floor with a white surface and I could see every single thing that was on, I was like, oh, you know what? I wasn't as I wasn't as kind to that floor as I should have
Yeah,
been.
that floor wasn't so bad, right?
There were some perks. There
I
were some
love it.
perks.
Oh
All
my God.
right, that's it, Laura Marie. Thank you so much for being an amazing guest today on the show.
Oh, it was fabulous. Thank you.
Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obvi again, please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself, head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adult to your adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.